continue this study, we're going to be looking at heaven's call. Heaven has a call for us. And we need to look at and understand what that really is all about. We're talking about throughout this study, just by way of review and reminding us where we're going with this, that living, this is all about living in the power of heaven in our daily lives now. Not having to wait for heaven when we die, but living in the power of heaven right now in this life. The God's promises are for now. Okay? And He wants us to experience His power in our lives now so that we can live in that power every single day. I don't know about you, but I find more and more every day I need more and more of His power. You see? And that's what He provides for us as we march on toward that victory that we look forward to of being with Him in heaven. We don't have to wait for that power. We have it now. But as we've seen so far in our study, it requires us to surrender. Okay? We've got to raise the white flag. We've got to surrender ourselves to Him so that we can live every single day in the power of heaven.
Right?
I got a phone call a while back, and actually, you know, I've gotten a lot of phone calls like this. This particular phone call was from a man who was really, really distraught. His marriage was in a lot of trouble. And he looked up, you know, in the phone book, and he found my number, and he told me that he didn't really know where else to turn to. He needed some help. He wanted to save his marriage. And as I spent some time with him and talked with him, tried to help him and so forth with all of this, what I came to realize is that this man wasn't really that interested in a relationship with God. What he really wanted was for God to help him fix his marriage. You see? And that was his approach to the whole thing. If God could just go ahead and help me get this straightened out, then everything would be fine again in my life. And you see, the problem with that kind of an approach is that it's like a lot of people look at God as kind of like a first responder. When I get myself in trouble, then all I need to do is just call God and He'll take care of it, right? He'll come and rescue me. So if I get myself stuck on a ladder, just call God and He'll take care of it. Whatever the emergency is that we're facing in our life, God is our first responder. Well, you know, prayer in the midst of a crisis, it is a good thing, but the problem is if that's the only time that we really pray and turn to God, if we're just praying in emergencies, you see, then it tends to keep God at a distance from us. Okay? Brother Don McLaughlin has this to say in his book. He says, sudden faith in God spawned in a moment of extreme need has no root. And so it's kind of like, you know, the parable of the sower. We're going to talk more about that in a few moments. In the parable of the sower, that rocky soil, the seed falls in that soil, but there's no root there. And so when trouble comes up, there's nothing really to hold it firm. You can't really grow. And that's what happens to a lot of folks when it comes to God. A lot of people are very interested, I mean, they're not really interested in seeking a relationship with God. What they're really interested in, you see, is for God to answer whenever they decide to call on Him. They don't really see the need to grow in a relationship with God through a life of obedience. And that's what Heaven's Call is really all about. God is calling us to live and to walk with Him in a life of obedience to His will. You see? But unfortunately, there are too many people who aren't really interested in that kind of relationship. They just want God to kind of be on call whenever in case they need Him. So they keep God at a distance until that time comes. And then when the emergency pops up, boy, the prayers start going. And they expect God to then just respond as quickly as possible to handle their emergency. What Heaven is really calling for us is to obedience in our life with Him. But not just obedience, but an obedient relationship with God. In fact, in order for us to really experience Heaven in our real world today, as we're living day to day, we've got to accept the whole message of Heaven. Not just pick and choose the parts we like, but accept the whole message that God has to give us. And that message includes walking daily in His will. Okay? And that's what Heaven's call is all about. Heaven's message isn't about waiting until we have some kind of emergency. It's not about religion, only when we need it. So the emergency pops up and then we scream and holler out, God, please save me. God wants more than religion with us. He wants a relationship with us. You see? And it's about a relationship with God where these are the kinds of things that are happening, where at the things that we've been talking about in the study, where God restores our value, where we recognize and understand what God does, that we are that treasure hidden in the field that He has found. You say? That is heaven's priority. You see? It's about a relationship with God where He offers us a pardon. You see? That's heaven's provision. A pardon for our sins, because without that, we're lost. You see? Because we cannot save ourselves. It's about a relationship with God where He transforms us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is heaven's purpose. And it's about a relationship with God where He calls us to wholehearted obedience to His will in our lives. That is heaven's call. See? God wants a relationship with us where we walk with Him in obedience to Him. And that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And you recall, we were talking a little bit about this last week, in the Garden of Eden, before sin came into the world, the relationship that God had with Adam and Eve was one where He walked in the garden in the cool of the day with Him. You see? And that's what God wants with us. You see? And so Jesus tells this parable, and we've looked at parts of this already in this study, but we look at this parable, just mentioning what this parable is really all about. Jesus talks about four different kinds of soil. Okay? And for our purpose this morning, what we need to understand about this soil is that each one of these soils represents not just a person, but a heart. You see? And it's a heart that is either living in obedience to God or one that is not living in obedience to God. And as we saw earlier, as we talked about this, that even though Jesus, as He tells this parable, God sent His Son to die for us, He knew that 3/4 of the people were going to reject His offer. You see, because out of the 4 types of soil, there's only one. There's only one heart there. It has a heart of obedience to God. Okay? But that's what it's really all about. Okay? It's an issue of the heart. Okay? 4 kinds of soil, 4 different responses. But they're all coming from the heart. So it really is an issue of where our heart is with God. It's like the rich young ruler. We talked about him a lot of times here. The rich young ruler, in his approach to a relationship with God, he was willing and he was desiring to have a relationship, but he wanted it on his terms. Okay? What do I have to do? Well, these things, wait a minute, let's talk about this, because I'm not sure that I'm willing to really give up what you're telling me I need to give up. In his case, it was his wealth. The Bible tells us he went away sad because he had great wealth. You see, God wants a relationship with us, but it cannot be on our terms. It's got to be on His terms. You see? He lays out the terms. And it's up to us to either accept or reject His terms. You see, for that relationship, not to dictate our own. In Matthew chapter 6, in the text that we read for us as we began, Jesus points out, again, it's an issue of the heart. Okay? Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Because here on earth, there's all kinds of things that can destroy that treasure. You see, He talks about moth and rust or those kind of things. Don't store up the stuff that you have and treasure here on earth, because eventually it's going to be destroyed. The things of this world are not going to last forever. But rather, He says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Because you know what? There's no rust that can get in heaven. Okay? You know, we sing a song about no tears in heaven. I'm thinking maybe about writing one called No Rust in Heaven. Okay? All right? No rust, no moth, no none of that kind of stuff to destroy that treasure at all. But look at what He says there at the very end of this passage. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So you see, it comes back to that issue of the heart. Okay? Where is your heart? If you don't have your heart in a relationship, then what kind of relationship do you really have? Okay? Think about it that way. Without the heart, you don't have much of a relationship. Okay? Of the teachers of the law, the scribes and the Pharisees, the ruling class of the Jews, the religious leaders, Jesus had this to say. Well, did Esaias or Isaiah say of these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In other words, they're following the rules, they're going through all the motions, they're doing all the right things, but they're not doing them from the heart. So, their motivation is wrong. So therefore, they worship me, he says, in vain. Without the heart, it doesn't matter what you do. Okay? You've got to have a heart involved in the relationship. Our love relationship with God compels us then to obey Him. Okay? Without the love, we just are content to live however we want to, but with the love, it then requires, it compels us to obey His will in our life. Okay? And that proof, that's the proof, really, of the relationship and our love for God is whether or not we obey Him. Jesus says it this way in John chapter 14, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You see? If you really love me, you'll do what I say. Which I think we have to understand it on the other side of it, is the flip side of it. If you don't do what I say, then what you're demonstrating is that you don't really love me. Because if you did love me, you would obey me. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really or truly my disciples. And that word truly or really there, I think, is a key that we have to understand. There are a lot of people who claim to be Jesus' disciples. But the true test as to whether one really is or not is whether he's holding to his teachings. Okay? Are you living in obedience to him? And he goes on to say, if that's the situation, if that's what's happening, if you really are his disciple, if you really are holding to his teachings, then you will know the truth. And the truth is what sets you free. So you see, living in obedience to God ultimately is what frees us. Not only from our sin, but it frees us from the oppression of the world. Okay? When we live in obedience to Him, then we are truly free because we know the truth. And Satan can no longer convince us with his lies. But we need to understand that this call from heaven, okay, heaven's call is a call from the heart. It's from the very heart of God. And God is calling upon us, you see, and asking us to return His love. Alright? It is a call from the very heart of God. 1 John chapter 4, John writes this. This is how God showed His love among us. Okay? He sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is love, He says. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In other words, God demonstrated His love for us first. God doesn't say to us, go and get your act together, get rid of all your sins, stop living that way, and then come and let me know, check in with me, and I'll forgive you. No. He says, come to me, answer my call, and I'll forgive you of your sins. But from there, I want you to live a different life. I want you to wear the clothes I'm going to give you, as we talked about last week, those that look like my son. But it requires a response. How much does God really love us? And how important, how much of a priority as we talked about, are we? Look at what he says here in 1 Peter. Okay? You are, this is what you are, this is how he describes those who follow him. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And I really like this next part. He says, God's special possession. my relationship with Him. That's who He describes, how He describes us in relationship with Him. That's who we are. Okay? But we're not that just so that we can be that. We're that for a reason. Look at what He says next. Why are we all of those things? That you may declare the praises of what? Look at this. Of Him who calls you. Okay? Him who called you. And where did He call you? He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. So you see, heaven's call, that's what it's about. God has called us out of the darkness, out of lost, being lost in sin, and into His wonderful light. Okay? And He has made us a very special possession of His. The Apostle Paul in Romans puts it this way. He says, we know that all things, God works for the good. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Who have been what? Called. Called according to what? His purpose. Okay? Now, what is His purpose? Well, we talked about that earlier. His purpose is to do what? To transform us into the image of His Son. So He's saying here, God called us. Okay? And all the stuff that goes on in our lives, whether good or bad, God's going to work it all out. Why? Because He called you according to His purpose. And that purpose is to wrap you in the clothing of the image of His Son. That's His purpose. Ultimately, because He wants a relationship with you, like He had with Adam and Eve in the garden, a walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship. He wants that relationship restored. Okay? So, He calls, but His call requires a response from you. Okay? Now, let me ask you this. How many of you remember, be careful here, how many of you remember Colette Calls? Okay, all right. How many of you remember these things? Okay, for those of you who are less informed, you younger people, those are called phone booths. Okay? They're phone booths. And those are the things, okay, just to kind of put it in perspective, that's where Superman always changed from being a civilian to being, okay? Phone booths. And what would happen is, you know, this was the age before everybody had cell phones, okay? You can actually go into one of these phone booths, a public phone, all right? And back, you know, in my day, you could actually make a local phone call for a dime. All right? Okay? For a dime, you could make a local phone call. And if you needed to make a long-distance call and you didn't have enough money to put in the machine, then what you could do is you could just dial O for operator and say, operator, I'd like to make a collect call. Okay? And you could do that by, you could say, I want to make it person to person. In other words, to a specific person that you name at that number, and only that person, that's the only person they'll connect you to. Or you can just say to anybody at that number. But here's the thing. Here's how that worked. In order for it to go through, the other person had to accept the charges for that call. Otherwise, the call is not going to do. The operator goes out. Sorry. Okay. That's what collect calls were all about. Now, here's another thing. I have, you know, for a long, long time, was never really, this is not really that random, okay? I've never really been that much of a person who liked chicken salad. Okay? That was just not one of my favorite foods. But several years ago, I went to a church in Alabama, and I did a merit seminar there. And of course, they had the, you know, Sunday after services, you know, we had the big fellowship meal and all this. And I was trying to be the nice preacher, you know, guest preacher, and he tried some everything there. And this lady said, well, you got to try this chicken salad. Okay. I tried the chicken salad. Oh, my goodness. So good. So I went down and got some more. That's how good it was. And so I was sitting there with the preacher and some other people at the table. I said, man, I got to get this recipe. And Randy, the preacher, he said, not going to happen. He said, Rose never gives out that recipe. Everybody has been trying for years to get that recipe. She refuses to give out that recipe to anybody. Well, I guess I just have to enjoy this. I said, nah. I went and I talked to Rose. I said, Rose, I'm not a chicken salad person. I said, this is absolutely wonderful. Is there any way I can get your recipe? There's Rose's recipe. Okay? Now, the reason that I put this up here is because I want you to notice something on this. She mailed this to me, okay? And I want you to notice something. You see where it says Hellman's Mayonnaise? You see what's next to it? No exceptions. Okay? No exceptions. In other words, what Rose told me was, she wrote me this little letter. She said, you know, here's the recipe. Please don't share it with anybody else. Okay? All right? You notice that she didn't put how much of different ingredients in there. I had to figure all that out myself. But anyway, no exceptions. And she said, you know, Hellman's Mayonnaise, that's all you can use in this recipe. Hellman's Mayonnaise. Dukes is the death note. Anyway, okay, here's the point. We want to accept heaven's call. You see? But at the same time, what we want to do is adjust that call to our liking. And that's okay if you're dealing with chicken salad, okay? You know, you can tweak it if you want to, as long as you don't let Rose know about it, okay? Alright? But when you're dealing with God in His Word, okay, He says the same thing. No substitutions, no exceptions. You see? You either accept the call as it is, or you don't. You don't get to replace things in His Word. Right? You got to follow the recipe exactly as He laid it out. Obedience from the heart means that we follow His recipe instead of trying to tweak it with our own ideas and our own desires and so forth. Okay? Heaven's call, okay, it's about us living in an obedient relationship with God. And He's calling. Okay? He's calling. The question is, how are you going to answer His call? Because what He wants is a response from you, but that response, what He wants more than anything, is a relationship. As we said many times before, God doesn't want religion from you. You say, it's not about how many times you go to church and whether you get your car punched every week. That doesn't matter to God. What matters is a relationship with Him that He wants to have with you. Okay? Relationship with Him. The most important relationship you can have in this life. Okay? And what I'm calling upon you to do is to embrace that relationship every day of your life because it's a daily walk. Heaven's call goes out to every single one of us every single day. Will you live in obedience to me to death in your life? You say, and to share and to experience the power of heaven in your daily life. That's what it's about. Now, these things that I've shared with you this morning, hopefully to challenge you to be thinking about how you respond daily. It's not just a one-time response, but daily, how do you respond to God and your call from heaven to walk daily in relationship with Him? That maybe in your life there's been some things going on that you've not been responding to Him in relationship. Maybe you've been content to just kind of experience religion, not wanting to be too committed to the relationship with Him. If that's where you've been, do something about that today. Let's be committed to have a relationship with Him and to walk with Him daily. Okay? And if you've never given your life to Him, if you're not a Christian because you've not given your life to Him, you've not had your sins washed away in baptism, you can do that right now this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, to live in relationship with Him daily, then call upon this Lord. Repent of your sins that are separating you from God and will continue to separate you until you have them washed away. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, and you can do that right now, this morning. All you got to do is come up and let me know what you want to do. If you would like to have a private conversation or prayer, Dale will be in the back to receive you back there. I'll be up here in the front to receive you. What we want to do is to help you in your response to heaven's call. Let's stand together.